Welcome to the Sports Bros Podcast, featuring the almighty B-Live, the money man Scotty D, and your host, the head of creative Eddie Cool. The Sports Bros Podcast, by the fan, for the fan, talking sports just the way you like it. And without any further ado, let's give it up for the Sports Bros. Playoffs, more playoffs. We got this thing called the NFL draft coming up. With that being said, it's Tuesday. You know what time it is. It's time for your favorite sports podcast, none other than the Sports Bros Podcast. Eddie Cool, the Money Man Scotty D, the Almighty B-Live. We are here. It's three of us, once again, rerunning three wide, baby. So we got to find the quarterback that's worth it down. Enough of my incoherent rambling, because what I don't want to do is be I don't want to be Devin Haney and get my jaw broke by a guy that came into a fight that was overweight by like 3 pounds or something like that. And he just toyed with him. Anyways, that's neither here nor there. I have two of the best co-hosts in the world. Introducing first the Almighty B-Live.
What's happening? What's going on in the world today? Oh, it's wonderful, great grand, all kinds of sports happening in all different places. And I come here to report that in the wonderful sport of college spring football games, you know, where you have your, like, your intramural, like, little team versus team, Alabama, and everything like that, the annual competition of who shows up more for their team. South Carolina Gamecocks, 32,500. Clemson Tigers, 47,000. That is a huge competition that, once again, Clemson is the best and South Carolina sucks.
You just can't
Nobody cares.
You just can't help yourself, can you?
I can't help myself, but people can't help themselves. This is the latest thing that people are talking about is spring football game attendance. Nobody cares. Go ahead and introduce the other guy. I just wanted to get that out of the way. Because I feel like stirring the pot.
Yeah. So never mind how the teams look like. It's about how many asses we got in seats.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Yeah.
And with that being said, he is back like bad breath in the morning. Oh, we missed him so much. He is the pride of Washington, Pennsylvania. And if you get a chance, check out his appearance as the host, the man on the Buzz television show at the Waynesburg University, Scotty Cum Laude himself, the money man, Scotty D.
Under pressure. Under pressure. Ding. There's so much pressure right now, I can't take it. I got pressure at school. I got pressure watching NHL and NBA playoffs. There's so much pressure. It's nice. I will finally be able to sit down and talk about the Masters. Or wait, you guys did that already, right?
Yeah, we did that.
Then we'll talk about Justin Gaethje and Max Holloway.
Nope. We talked about that already.
Oh, okay. Did that too. We beat you.
So the show went on without me, huh?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I'm glad you guys covered all that. Yeah. Because I was a little under the weather last week, so I took a little time to rest up, and I do have a little pressure on me. As you know, I am a Waynesburg University student, and this is my last week of classes, and then next week will be finals week, and then for the first time since 1990, I will wear a cap and gown. So that's what we're gearing towards. Then after that, I can go back to not being worried about school. I can just focus on being poor. And with that being said, let's talk sports.
Oh man, those student loans, man, they don't make no sense. But that's a whole story for another day. But anyways, enough of that. Let's go ahead and hop right into it. The top of the order. All right, let's get this thing started. Here it is, the top of the order. Hot and heavy, fast and furious, however the hell you want to call it, the NBA playoffs start off with a bang. And it's been pretty exciting so far. We talked about our intriguing playoff pairings last week, and B-Live elaborated on some of the young stars. B-Live, your dude Ant-Man went off.
I'm just saying, you know, I sort of watched this thing to see what's going on in the world today. So, This is going to be fun. This is going to be fun. This is going to be fun. The Lakers are going to get swept. I'm going to get that out of the way. It's over for them. Kevin Durant going to get swept. It's over for him. There's so much intrigue with this. Here's the one thing that shocked me. Is there anybody else on the team, on Dallas Mavericks team, or is it going to be 5-on-2? Because nobody, and I mean nobody, showed up for the Mavs outside of their big two. And I'm over here like, okay, anybody, nobody. LA Clippers don't even have Kawhi, and yet they still are hitting, man. That first half of that game was woo-woo. So the intriguing matchup that I'm actually looking forward to, and I alluded to a little bit when I was talking about the youth, Oklahoma City versus New Orleans. This is a lot closer than I thought it was going to be. New Orleans said, hey, hold on, but OKC eked it out 1-2 as opposed to every other series that was won by double digits. Man, oh, man, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. What's there to say? Youth inexperience, it shows in the playoffs. But Shai Gilgeous-Alexander did enough with his 28-point performance. And we look to see who is going to show up in the postseason as opposed to regular season. I don't know. This is going to be six. I'm saying this is easy. Going to be a six-game series, maybe seven. And I just love the fact that there's so much going on. And you can talk about it, but really, how much do we actually know outside that the Lakers are going to get swept? Really, that's about it. Scotty D's over here like,
I have no argument on that because it happened last year. If you remember, every game was close. It didn't feel like a sweep as far as the way the game by game situations played out. But Denver just found a way to win every one of those games on their way to winning the championship. And I think they're gonna win the whole thing again. But I tell you, as I look, I see a lot more. I don't know, the playoffs this year feel a little bit more like they're a little more fresh this year for some reason. Like there's some fresh matchups and some young, like you said, some youth into this has been injected into the mix. And the second round matchup to me seems to be the biggest hurdle for the Nuggets, the Timberwolves and Suns. It seems like Phoenix has a lot of youth. They do have the experience with Durant, but they got the exciting young players. I feel like if the Nuggets get by that, I don't look at anyone on the other side of that bracket as being a real threat to them to keep them out of the finals. I think they'll handle Clippers or Mavericks. I think they'll handle Pelicans or Thunder. I think their toughest matchup is going to be either the Suns or the Timberwolves. And I was convinced that they would cruise into the finals and beat whoever from the East. But, man, the Celtics look good. Should I not say that because I just expect the Celtics to fold up like they usually do? But could it actually be different this year? Could the mindset have actually changed this year? Because I don't know that there's a player in the NBA that has more pressure on him to actually succeed and get to the finals this year than Jason Tatum. I mean, that's a guy who's looked at as pretty much the leader, best player of that team. Is anybody else in the postseason, can you pinpoint and say, man, that guy really needs to be in the finals really badly. That team needs to be in the finals really badly based on the expectation, especially considering how much they steamrolled the opposition in the regular season. There's got to be a world of pressure on the Celtics, and can they withstand that?
Could we say that that pressure could be applied to the Clippers with that loaded roster that they have? And
could, yeah, but for could. End of but that's also you have guys on that team who have typically failed, and I think the expectation is lower. They're also not the number one seed. You have Kawhi Leonard is a guy who has gotten it done, so it's not as much pressure where Tatum never has accomplished getting a championship. I just say, and I think they are so much head and shoulders above everybody else in the East, whereas the West is more balanced. I just think that the majority of the pressure mounting would fall on the shoulders of Jason Tatum as the leader of that team, that franchise. Yeah, I do see this, what you're saying, though, Eddie. I think the Clippers would probably be another one to really look at. You know, even the Lakers, you know, they brought AD in for the expectation of winning some championships, and they did accomplish that at one point. But that Lakers team's not that good. We know that they're aging, and it's kind of there are some mismatched pieces in there. And the other teams are playing with house money. They're young. I mean, look at the Cavaliers-Magic matchup. I mean, you would expect on paper Cleveland has a distinct advantage, but man, the Magic, they've got some good young guys. They were quietly under the radar this year.
Yep.
Yeah, and Paolo Banchero is quietly turned into a really nice player. I mean, he was the number one pick out of Duke. You expect good things from him, but I don't see him on TV every night. He's not the guy that's filling up the highlight reels on our sports shows. But yet there they are. I think the Pacers are another team sort of playing with house money where the expectations are low, but could provide some interesting matchups here in the postseason. But I think of all the teams, the Celtics are the one to have the most pressure on them to succeed to the highest level this year.
The reason why Scottie D doesn't want to crown the Boston Celtics just yet is because he hates their offensive philosophy. Live by the three, die by the three.
You have to have a backup plan.
Because Boston shoots in volume when it comes to the three-pointer, and they just so happen to hit a lot of shots in this first game and everything like that. And we saw that evident with the Dallas Mavericks because they were ice cold. All right. Shoot more threes.
I love Scotty D's messages in the group chat. Mavericks versus Suns. The Mavericks, 2 for 18 from three. Keep putting them up. in the later game between the Pacers and the Pacers. Who the Pacers play again? The Pacers and the
Bucks.
Pacers and Bucks game. Yep, Scotty D said once again, the Pacers, 5 of 24 from three. Keep on shooting.
Just keep shooting.
Keep shooting.
Keep swimming. Keep shooting, baby. Keep shooting.
That's the one thing about Boston, though, is they've got – the roster blows my mind that how did Boston get Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Andrew Holiday with Porzingis at the – that roster should win like 3 or 4 championships. Will they do it? Or are they just going to keep shooting threes and get cold again like they've done in the past? Boston should easily win the East. But we'll see. We'll see. Show me. Missouri? The Show Me State? And that, I'm excited, though. I love NBA playoffs. Once we get past that play-in dumbness, just give us the playoffs. The best 8 teams on each side. Let's see who's got the grit, who's got the tenacity. And I love the fact that these games right here, more than anything, you notice that you don't have 150 to 135 games. You don't have none of those.
You don't.
Because grit. We ain't got time for all that finesse and all that stuff. We here to fight defense. Who can be the better defensive team in certain situations? Who's going to grab the boards? Fundamentals. That's what I like to see. And it comes through and through when it comes to the NBA playoffs. Yes, sir.
Yep. And I think it's at the point to where it's like, okay, we got 82 games during the season with some teams. Okay, we know we're going to be good. Let's do enough, just enough to get into the playoffs. Let's not overplay our hand too much. Let's see if we can, if you sees 1 through 4, you know what you have to do after the All-Star break. It's just that 5 through 11 or whatever with the playoff playing teams included, whatever that is. Then you know you really have to play. But then like for everybody else is well, okay, we could just kind of do what we got to do. But like you said, B-Live, we probably won't see any 211s to 185 and
yeah. All son of Scotty D, I got a question for you because I just like to see your responses, response to dumb stuff. I forget the name of the ESPN analyst that said the teams that lose game one have the advantage because now they can make adjustments. I need to know actually who said it. I'm going to look it up in a second. But what do you think about that statement? About the team
I think that's utterly ridiculous because if you play poorly and you still win, are you not going to make adjustments anyway? And the advantage is winning. I mean, you have to win more. So I don't understand that.
That's what I thought. I was like,
but if you have won game one, then that means you were at home and you've held your home court advantage. I mean, game one is at home, and if you lose, you've lost your home court advantage. That none of that makes any sense to me at all. You have to mathematically, it's not true. Yeah. The first one to four wins, and if you're winning, if you have one, the other team has zero, you clearly have the advantage. So I don't understand. That statement had to somehow get pulled out of context for some reason. That doesn't make much sense to me.
I mean, just as you guys said, you know, if you win ugly, guess what you do? You make adjustments. And if you lose, guess what you do? You make adjustments. Either way, whether you win or you lose, you have to make adjustments. That's how.
Yeah, you don't just win a game and say, "Oh, sweet, that was awesome. We're going to go do the exact same thing and get the same exact result next time." No, every game is unique. Every game is different. So you have to be ready to also adjust to counter what the other team is going to do. So I don't understand that. What I love about the first round, though, that is unique to only this round, and you get the same thing in the NHL, is you get all these there's so many games, and there's games that are coming on the West Coast late. I always enjoyed this part this time of year where you have games every night of the week. You know, will fill up the first round, fills up a week schedule of every night, early and late. Mm-hmm. You get to the finals, you get one game on Sunday, then you gotta wait till Thursday, and then you gotta wait till Sunday again. I mean, but in these opening rounds, you get a lot of action. I love that part of the postseason.
I mean, dragging it out like, man, come on, man, what are we doing? Go ahead, be live.
I found out who said it. Richard Jefferson. Richard Jefferson said that. Sometimes he tries to be smarter than what he really is. I'm like, that don't even make any sense. But I guess they're trying to create a stir or whatever. I guess you lose to find out what you need to adjust. I'd never heard of that before in my life. But if you're that good, which you're not, to whatever team that decides to lose and then has, yeah, whatever. All right, show me some stats behind that because I don't believe that at all.
The most nonsensical statement award of the week goes to Richard Jefferson. That makes no sense. All right, fellas, are we going to put a cap on some basketball talk? Guess what? The draft is this Thursday. A whole lot going on. And we here at the Sports Bowls Podcast, we refuse to spend the last month and a half to talk about the draft because we want it to be fresh, robust, something that you can absorb and something that you can feel. The Chicago Bears have the first pick via Carolina, just decided to we're just gonna give you everything and get nothing in return because I guess we're just feeling generous. Yeah, sharing is caring, but this ain't the one time sharing is caring. So fellas, I don't want to talk too much because that's a topic for our Choices of the Voices. So the draft, the talent, what are we thinking? Scotty D, you first.
I don't trust any of the quarterbacks. I know that much. There's not a single one where I say that's a slam dunk. There's not a Trevor Lawrence or Joe Burrow in this draft that makes me feel like, oh man, that's the guy we really need to turn our franchise around. There's not a Bryce Young in this draft where you know, when we're going to get him, we're going to be starter.
That's not necessary.
I'm joking. I think there's more Bryce Youngs than there are Joe Burrows in this particular draft. And you know, the guy that a lot of people think could be the quarterback to come out of this draft as the stud is Drake May. And Merrill Hodge said, this dude ain't it. And if Merrill Hodge says that, I'm not buying it either. He says his windup is slow. It takes too long for he like winds up to deliver the ball. His delivery is too long, and that doesn't translate at the NFL level where the big boys are coming at you faster than the college players. Caleb Williams to me is an enigma. He seems like a big goof. I wouldn't trust my franchise with him. I think if you're Chicago and that's the guy you're replacing with the Justin Fields, and I think you've downgraded. I could be wrong. I don't know. I don't have this to an exact science. Even the guys that study the film don't have it to an exact science. I just kind of feel like there's not a savior quarterback in this draft, which is okay with me because we already have, as a Dallas Cowboy fan, we already have our savior under center. We're golden there.
Trey Lance?
Yes. Yes, Trey Lance. Cooper Rush. We have Cooper Rush under contract.
Is he still on the team?
Far as I know,
he's that guy. I don't know. Let me tell you something right here. Let me, because I don't want to. You know, I am. I'm a sailor set because everyone says presumed number one pick, Caleb Williams. I'm just gonna say it. It may be different, it may be new, and they might cancel me, but I'm gonna say what it says. If I'm a grown man, an NFL veteran, a big hoss, mm-hmm. I ain't trusting no dude that paints his fingernails.
He's a goof.
The dude has been a diva his entire college career, and he keeps doing more and more stuff. Like, he was already a diva when he transferred from Oklahoma to USC. He was a diva at USC in the limelight in Southern California, Los Angeles. He won a Heisman. I'll give him that. But it would, and then he turns around the year that he's supposed to put it all together, and he goes 7-5, and he didn't show me. He really didn't show me anything. They're trying to make this dude the next Patrick Mahomes, and I don't see it. I just don't see it out of him, if anything. Now, I can tell you somebody that I think is really underrated, and the only reason why he's low on the totem pole as far as quarterbacks go is because of his injury history. But I think Michael Penix Jr. could, if he stays healthy, I think he's the steal of this draft. But, I mean, that health thing is a big deal because – you can't have but so many surgeries, and then things supposedly got to put some oil on them joints so they may fall apart. I don't know. It's a violent game. I just know this much. Somebody, some GM is going to make the dumb move of trading up, trying to get something, and they should wait, because I think the quarterback situation, once again, is top heavy. We've rarely actually seen a number one draft pick do damage. I mean, we're still waiting on Joe Burrow. I mean, he's doing great, but he still hasn't won the big dance. So I don't know. He got to
the Super Bowl in his second year.
But that's what I'm saying. The crazy part about that is he's an anomaly when it comes to the high draft pick when it comes to quarterbacks. C.J. Stroud, he could be one of those dudes being drafted number two. But outside of them two, who's actually done something in the league that's been drafted high in the past 5 years?
Yeah, I mean, Trevor Lawrence made the playoffs, got one playoff win, I believe, in that big comeback against the Chargers. Herbert has no playoff wins, I don't believe. Now, he's also probably very encouraged by Jim Harbaugh coming in there with his reputation of helping quarterback play. So he's a guy that you could be looking at as potentially a quarterback ready to take the next step. But yeah, Baker Mayfield, he's won a lot of games for a lot of teams.
Still has a job at this point.
That guy at the Chargers, quarterbacks usually need wide receivers to throw to. I'm just saying. Do they even have a wide receiver?
Jalen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's just I don't understand it, man.
They don't even have a running back.
Nope.
Did they just pick up somebody for a 1-year deal or something like that?
I don't know. It don't make a damn bit of difference. No, I'm joking. It's just when it comes to that whole situation, it's kind of like, well, damn, Keenan Allen gone, and now if you look at it, Justin Herbert is pretty much starting from square one all over again, back to the drawing board. And I'm like you guys, man. This draft, no one really seems to – there's no one other than Marvin Harrison Jr. There's no pick that really goes, ah, they really jumps at me. They kind of do like the whole kitten paw, where they just paw. Nothing really jumps. I don't know.
It's going to be a wide receiver heavy draft, which I'm looking forward to. Not only Marvin Harrison, Roma Dunze, what's my dude from LSU? NFL draft, is it this coming Thursday?
Yep, it is Thursday night.
Detroit?
Yeah, I believe it is.
In Detroit. Detroit Rock City.
Good. And as a Cowboy fan, I hope you guys are right about the quarterbacks and receivers flying off the board, because there's a center that I really like as a Cowboy fan sitting down at 24. And I'd love to see this Jackson Powers Johnson from Oregon slide down the board to the Cowboys. Cowboys desperately need linemen, and that's my biggest hope. I hope they don't make a mistake and pick for like the best player available, pick for need this year if you're the Cowboys.
Yeah, you're just hoping that they don't pull a Leighton Vander Esch like they did that 1 year where they had several needs. Like, what are we? I mean, it was like, well, what are we doing picking him?
I thought they were going to take Calvin Ridley that year, and they went with Vander Esch. And Vander Esch, I didn't like the pick that night because I just didn't know a lot about him. But he ended up being a pretty good player for the Cowboys until he had trouble with the neck injury that resurfaced this year. But it looked like, they weren't going to get the years out of him that they did. And then he had, I think, two seasons before this past one where he actually was in there healthy and played pretty well. But, yeah, I sometimes they say take the best player on the board, but sometimes you have to go for need. I mean, if the Cowboys would take another, I don't know, what are they deep, a receiver or tight end, that would make sense because they already have that position filled. So just do the right thing and pick a good beefy giant fat lineman for me, would you?
Well, fellas, we shall see what's going on this coming Thursday, the NFL draft in Detroit. Scotty D, you had an interesting week, if you will. You had a chance to call a game with the legendary Lenny Fiteri. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah, this was actually a really big deal for me. So many of you outside our area probably don't know, but Lenny Fiteri was the voice of the Pittsburgh Pirates from 1976, I believe, through 2009. So decades worth of calling Major League Baseball. And he is the professor at Waynesburg University that really was the inspiration for me going to this school to learn from him, to become a sports announcer, just to gain knowledge and experience in that field. Well, at some point during the winter, it was agreed that Waynesburg was going to use our very skilled department, our communications department, and cover baseball games for Trinity. Great connection, my high school that I went to and have worked the last 4 years. And so there were some games scheduled to cover using a one camera operation and do play by play for it. So the cameras mounted in the press box, and I had the opportunity to call a game with Lenny Fiteri this past Friday night. So it was kind of like a dream come true situation for an aspiring announcer to work with the guy I grew up listening to every day, sitting in the booth next to him and calling a game for my alma mater where I actually went to high school. And I tell you, I have a lot of work to do because this man is incredibly good at what he does, and just watching the preparation that he put into it. And I thought that I had prepared well, but it didn't hold a candle to what he had ready, and his experience being able to just talk through baseball from his knowledge, from his experience. It was a really meaningful night for me, and just to sit and learn from someone who is so good at that occupation. It was a real honor and pleasure, and I'm hoping to take some of what I learned and saw from him firsthand that night and going forward. And we'll see what happens down the road. But yeah, just wanted to share that fun experience with you.
Great, great, great. Okay.
I just want to ask Scotty D one thing. Did you get the chance to say just a bit outside? Did you get to do that?
I didn't have the heart to be sitting next to the guy who still holds my grades in his hand to say something that silly. Said, no, I would love to, and maybe at some point I will, but I reserved the right to do that down there, but I did not throw that way.
I'm so happy for you, bro. So happy for you, man.
All good. Coming up next, after this little break, B-Live tells us about the Harlem Globetrotters game and, of course, our favorite segment of the show. Coming at you right here on the Sports Bros Podcast.
In the meantime, in between time, check us out on another platform because we got sports here, sports there, and all that whatnot. But on Wednesday, we just break it down a little bit and we talk about mental health. And we ask everyone to let's check in with the Wellness Check Wednesdays podcast.
Feel free to join us. For more information, just check out our Wellness Check Wednesday page on Facebook. Click the link. And of course, let's check in.
Check in. See you on Wednesday.
Scotty D, that's pretty cool. You had a chance to call a game with a legend in your area. Be Live, you went to a Harlem Globetrotters game, from my understanding. Tell us about that experience.
Well, I will say this. This was actually, I won't say bucket list. I've always grown up, I've been a basketball player throughout my youth and everything. Of course, I haven't played that much recently because, I need to hit a gym again. But it had me doing the full crossover and everything. I wanted to get back on the court, but man, the Harlem Globetrotters were very, very entertaining. Mm-hmm. It was good to see them because all you've seen so far the past couple of years are Savannah Bananas. And people forget who were the originators of sports entertainment, and I'm not talking about WWE. The Harlem Globetrotters is such a historical, like there's such a significance behind it, and seeing how that entertainment value has evolved, it was so kid friendly. If you have a kid, you make it a kid that plays basketball, somehow, some way, make it to see a Harlem Globetrotters game. It was very entertaining. They engaged the crowd, had a guy mic'd up on the court. It was really, really entertaining. Had young lady that watched the game with us that was a little disappointed because she thought she was going to watch an actual basketball game. I'm like, you don't know much about the Globetrotters at all, do you?
Let me learn you real quick. Let me tell you something.
But no, it was funny. It was entertaining. I actually got a chance to hang out with what is called the Crown Influencers. Mm-hmm. The arena that we have here is a Crown Complex, Crown Coliseum. And their job is to promote all the events that come out. They do all of the social media, all of the shorts, reels, and everything for the Crown Coliseum. I got to hang out with them. So I'm in the picture, chilling in the background, what's happening. And learned a lot about that, social media influence, and essentially, it was a really good time. I highly recommend it for anybody that has a kid that aspires to play basketball. It was just really, really entertaining, and I had a very good time. So, and
get to meet Curly Neal?
No, I did not. But
Lemon?
No, I got the snap. I the personalities themselves, they had names, everything like that. It was a short roster, small roster. I got to snap my fingers to Sweet Georgia Brown. That's it. I'm good. That's all I needed.
I love B-Live. The kid-friendly thing. I love it.
B-Live is whistling in case y'all can't hear it. He's whistling. Andy Cool, what'd you do this weekend? I went to work. Yeah. No, I'm joking. No, I'm happy for you fellas, man, going out and taking advantage of stuff like that, man. And, Scotty, working towards your goal, be live out of just having fun, mingling, networking, and socializing. That's what it's all about. Why? Because we love sports, and this is what we do. And looking at my cell phone, because be live, I ain't getting no watch no time soon. Guess what time it is?
What time is it? This portion of the show has been sponsored by the Apple Watch that we don't have. All right, Apple. See you soon.
Oh, I'm glad you asked. This time once again for our favorite portion of the show, the choices of the voices. With that being said, what? Hit it. Choices of the voices coming at you right here on the Sports Bros Podcast.
And now, our favorite part of the show, the choices of the voices.
Once again, thank you to the wonderful and
ever
so lovely Miss Button for introducing our favorite portion of this show, the choices of the voices. See, with that intro, you never know what you're going to get. You never know what you are going to get. You know how we do it here. We ask you the question. You give us the answer. We either pick at you, put you in the penalty box, put you over. But in all, it is just plain fun. All right, Scotty D, what is the topic for this week's choices of the voices?
Who's your favorite female athlete? And mine is Lolo Jones. Oh. We missed
that. That was last week.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't get to do it. I wanted to say I like Lolo Jones. All right.
I was gonna answer that for you, Scotty D. I was gonna damn it, but go ahead.
I love her. All right, the NFL draft is approaching and we are asking you, if you are the GM of the Bears, you're on the clock, what do you do? You got the number one pick. What should the Bears do with the top pick? And Eddie Cool, we had some creative answers here.
D.A. Bears. All right. Trey Dizzle said, draft the time. I should just say this for last. We're going to start the forces first. Trey Dizzle says, draft the time machine and go back in time 8 years. Draft Dak Prescott so that way Dallas never does. Then Dallas puts Tony Romo back in the starting lineup in 2016 and we win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's how it would have happened.
Boy, ain't that something. Tom Winner Chicken Dinner, he says they have a ton of draft capital. Lose the pick for multiple picks. They need a lot of help. And flip your roster and grab a reliable quarterback in free agency. In my honest opinion, Caleb Williams is going to be the next Ryan Leaf with his me first and I'm the greatest LeBron type attitude, hoping he flops like LeBron.
Ooh. Very opinionated.
Harsh, Tom Wynn. Harsh coming at you.
Good old Tom Wynn. Blowing in like the wind. Boom. See what I did there?
I like it.
All right. Our boy Joe Buggins, Joe Gaffigan, he said, focus on the number two pick. All hail to the potato skin. We already know. We already know.
Is it a given they're taking the
Jalen Daniels?
There's still discussion because the Redskins no name football team Commander Piglets
and them.
They invited all of the top quarterback prospects except for what that boy named the fingernail painting one,
Caleb Williams.
So they wanted to see all of the quarterbacks, and so I wouldn't say it's a foregone conclusion about Jaden Daniels. But that's where the experts, the pundits, are leaning towards. Some still say that Drake May might sneak up into that number two pick. So we'll see. We'll just wait and see what the Commanders, how they mess up this pick. Can't even say anything because I'm a Panthers fan. But I'm sorry. I digress.
We'll get it right one day. All right, Jeffrey Lewis, he says, I draft JJ or Jake. A big fan of DJ and want to hope of developing an accurate quarterback.
I don't know who he's talking about when he says DJ. I don't know
who DJ is.
The only DJ I know of is the quarterback for Florida State. My former boy, as Scotty D would say, ukulele.
That's not who he's talking about, is it?
You know another DJ that's being drafted this year?
I don't know. Who the hell
is exactly? Yeah, that's I don't know. So
Jeffrey, unless he meant to say CJ and was hoping of, I don't know.
Jeffrey, if you're listening, well, give us some clarification on who a DJ is, and we're not talking about DJ Khaled Screw or B-Lord in this matter, okay? Or DJ Jazzy Jeff. So let us know, all right? Our Hall of Famer Uncle Mac says, trade down and select a quarterback later. Let me see. You got one, two, three. I can honestly say I think the quarterbacks are going to go one, two, and three. So how far should the Bears trade down? That's the question.
Well, they have the ninth pick as well. Oh. And but here's the thing. I would have said that if what my dude, what day? I can't remember nothing. Who's their former quarterback?
Justin Fields.
Justin Fields, yeah, he's with Pittsburgh now. And because all they have on their roster is, as a quarterback, is Tyson Badgett. Tyson Badgett, he's the only quarterback on the roster. And yeah, I've never heard of him. I don't even know what school this is. He went to Shepherd.
Yeah. That's a small school, but I'm not sure where it is. But he played five games last year, but three touchdowns and six picks.
He's not QB one. They have to draft a quarterback. But I mean, do you wait to the ninth pick? I really don't think they can do that, but
They can't afford to.
Here's the thing that
they can't afford to.
If somebody makes a claim that they really want Caleb Williams, they might be like, you know what, take a step back, because as far as analyzing the quarterbacks that are in the game, I don't see much difference between two through six. Like, I don't see that much of a difference outside of Michael Penix and his injuries. I think any one of these guys can perform. They're not going to be rock stars, and I agree with Sky D on his assessment of that. I don't think any of these quarterbacks are as good as everybody wants to put them as, but that's the storyline. That's what people are talking about. Teams do need a good quarterback, and you really just – I wish my Panthers would have waited one more year, but now they wanted to jump the gun. That's a whole nother topic, but yeah. Uncle Max, Hall of Famer. Trade down is not necessarily out of the realm of thinking, because we'll see what team, because there's going to be a move. Like I said before earlier in the show, somebody's going to make a dumb decision to want to move up and they're desperate to want to get a quarterback. And so, yeah, we'll see.
How early last year do you guys remember did the Panthers make that trade? How far ahead of the draft did they do it? You remember, did that happen in February, March?
I think they had it in March.
Wow, right?
March, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. So this would be late to make that. Is that everybody, by the way? Did we get everybody in?
I got one more. Josh. Okay. Yep, Josh Becker, he says, trade their pick to the Jets. Let them draft Williams to learn under Rodgers, take a defensive lineman. Be like, you're going to love this one. Go draft Spencer Rattler later. There's been a lot of chatter of the Rattler.
Funny. Yeah. I didn't see that answer, but I was thinking the same thing.
You thinking the same thing? Elaborate on that.
Trade that pick down. Load up. Trade for draft capital next year. Trade down. Don't bother if you're hell bent on taking a quarterback this year. Go into the second round or third round and try to get Spencer Rattler. I like his moxie. He's not that far off of the guys that are already up there. He had a good Senior Bowl. You know, he's not a complete scrub. Now, is he going to be an NFL stud? I don't know, but I don't know that any other ones ahead of him are. So if you're going to fill that position with a rookie, I say load up with picks for the rest of your team. Draft offensive linemen. Maybe get somebody, one of the hired on the defensive side of the ball. And, go get you a rat or stay where you're at and draft Marvin Harrison first overall and then take your quarterback later without even trading down.
A whole lot of Rattler Chattler. I couldn't help myself. I had to do it.
I don't necessarily think he's going to be a great quarterback, but I think he's – comparable to what the other guys are that are ranked. I mean, I watched JJ McCarthy play. I thought he was a nice college quarterback, but I don't see him being a pro stud by any means.
So, Scott, you're saying somebody should roll the dice on the Rattler.
Roll it on the Rattler.
Oh,
Bang, rolling on the rattler.
y'all something special when it comes to Spencer Rattler.
No, because... you remember that hot take I posted in the group chat a while back on our family Facebook page, which y'all should follow, and it was like, I see Spencer Rattler being better than Michael Penix Jr. and old ass Bo Nix, and I was like, I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know if people are in the states where marijuana is legal and they're making these high-ass hot takes that are going to wind up being like frozen damn dinners. But either way, shout out to everybody for their participation in this week's Choices of the Voices. Beli, what in the hell should the Bears do?
Well, first of all, that take that Scotty D just made is absolutely ridiculous, because Spencer Rattler already lost. He was already deemed a lesser quarterback than Caleb Williams because they both played together in Oklahoma, and Spencer Rattler lost his starting job to Caleb Williams. And that's where all
Troy Aikman lost his starting job to Jamel Holloway. How'd that work out?
Man, you digging in the archives there, player.
Oklahoma.
What is this? Oklahoma get quarterbacks, but you know what? I don't like this. I'm getting the hell out of here. One guy goes this way, the other guy goes that way. Is that what you do at Oklahoma?
I don't know. Hey. They produce Heisman winners. That's one thing I can say that. But yeah. Here's the thing. There's been chatter about trading down, because here's the thing. The Chicago Bears only have 4 draft picks total in 7 rounds. They have the 1st and the 9th, but they have 2 more picks after that. That's not enough to build a roster.
Nope.
And they are, like, it's already been clear as day that they have O-line trouble. I mean, that's why, I forgot the boy name again. That's terrible.
not Trey Lance. Oh, my God. Justin Fields.
Justin Fields. Why do I keep forgetting him? Because he went to Ohio State. But maybe I'm trying to block him out of my brain. But, no, they should go ahead and pick the quarterback that they want. It shouldn't be. I'm just not sold on Caleb Williams. I think that they should pick one of the other. Jaden Daniels, I believe in him more than I do Caleb Williams. We'll see. That pick the quarterback first. Take that knife pick and do some maneuver. So there's going to be some teams that want to move up there, and if the quarterbacks don't go off the board or some of your prominent defensive players, somebody may want to move up for that, et cetera, et cetera. I would definitely do some maneuvering to get some more picks. Hopefully, I say at the end of the day, get around 6 to 7 picks, do some maneuvering there and do some, a little bit more maneuvering, and then build your team from there. But keep the number one draft pick, because you made it obvious that you need a quarterback. That's just if you still had Justin Fields, then I think you could do all this maneuvering and trade down for the number one pick if you still had Justin Fields. But they made it clear as day that they said we're going all in, as opposed to the Cowboys, and picking a quarterback. So when they sent Justin Fields away to compete with Russell Wilson with the Steelers there in Pittsburgh, we shall see. Maybe they'll listen to me. Maybe not. Trade down the 9th pick, keep the number one pick, pick the best quarterback that y'all evaluate, and go from there.
Having said that, they're taking Caleb Williams. This is a fun little exercise, but the reality is they're taking Caleb Williams.
And it'll be a mistake, just like a certain team picking Bryce Young. It'll be a mistake.
You want me to hit it, Beli?
You know what?
You want me to hit it, Beli?
Here's the thing. I'm not bailing out on Bryce Young, but dang, Shea Stroud's just better. But yes, yeah.
Right. Almost cussed. All right, fellas, you ready for me?
Yes, sir.
Let's hear it.
Vince, the Bears are picking at 9th. Hell, trade down to 8th and get back-to-back picks, and then tank, and then find something next year.
Well,
that's what I wanted Carolina to do last year, if you remember.
Absolutely, yes, I wanted them to do that. I was doing all this extra movement. Stay with Because we, I think we were at the, we did have the ninth pick last year. Mm-hmm. And then we did all this maneuvering to move up the, and gave away the farm. And now, here's the thing. Here's why I disagree with you. You don't make the moves to pick up Keenan Allen for them to tank this year, because Keenan Allen only has a couple more good years in him.
That's true.
So that you got to make the moves now. You don't send away Justin Fields for you to tank this season. If you want to tank and wait, you would have kept Justin Fields.
Right.
You
wouldn't have made the moves. They're still considered a rebuilder. You would have tried to develop him more instead of trading him away. But I think they're in one of those tweener situations. They're not in a full rebuild, but they also, you know, they have a pretty good team otherwise, and that quarterback position's very, very soft spot on the roster right now.
I mean, their defense was decent down the stretch. Their defense was decent. I think they allowed, what,
yeah,
set, like 80 yards per or 80 yards rushing per game, and they didn't give, you know, they can defend a run, and the secondary that bad. The defense is young, and it's not that bad. It's just that offense that needs work. Because the thing about it is, you know, when the defense is on the damn field on the offense, the defense is going to get winded, and the offense can't do nothing. And then the defense become inept because, okay, now they got to keep the opposing team from blowing the doors off of them, and then they're winded, and it's just bad. So, yeah, if you be live, I thought our situation was bad in Carolina, but I think the Bears, who they got to beat on that one. Should have never traded away Justin Fields. Should have never done it.
The thing about it is that they made a lot of moves on the offensive side in free agency. Mm-hmm. For them to wait till next year. I mean, Khalil Herbert, DeAndre Swift in the backfield, Cole Kmet, Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Dante Pettis as wide receiver threats and tight end threats. It's like they've got the players. They need the quarterback, and I think they could have immediate success. I just don't believe in Caleb Williams. He's gonna make a couple highlight reels. The media is gonna try their damnedest to make him to be the next Patrick Mahomes, and they're gonna fail miserably. And I'm gonna say, I told you so. But yeah, well, what do I know?
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes was special. That being said, Scotty D, what's on tap for next week's Choices of the Voices?
All right, next week we'll talk about the NBA playoffs and ask you to give us one of your all-time favorite NBA postseason unsung heroes. Ooh. And maybe cite a performance or memorable moment from such a player. Oh, is that the Ron Artest? Yeah.
No, the Mario Metal Elliott.
Piece.
Yeah.
Oh, Mario Elliott. Okay. Yeah. I know when the Lakers won game 7 against the Celtics and Meta World Peace had hit a 3-point, he was coming down blowing kisses to the fans. But he would be one of those unsung guys who had a big moment. So favorite unsung heroes and postseason performances by those guys. And that'll give us something to kick around next week.
Kick around like a soccer ball. Coming up next, be live. Grab that pepper grinder because you know what time it is, like two watches. It is time for a round of pepper. Coming at you right here on the Sports Bros Podcast.
Okay, boys, let's bring it home with a round of pepper.
You heard the woman. It's time for us to go home and get what I call the hell up out of here. But first, around the pepper. You know how we do it. Three topics, rapid fire style, kind of, sort of, not really, here to engage, enlighten, educate, and entertain. The four E's in no particular order, but they always wind up that way. With that being said, I'll go first. On this day in history, back in 1954, Hammerin' Hank Aaron hits the first of his 755 home runs. I wonder how much that ball is worth and who has it. Don't matter because I ain't got the money to buy it anyway. Over to you, Scotty D.
Hello, Earth. Yes. Hello, Earth. This is the Pittsburgh Pirates. Just wanted to let you know we're back. Be live. Over to you.
Oh, they've fallen. I believe they're fourth in the division now. Hell, man, and the Atlanta Braves are reigning supreme as the best team in Major League Baseball. And their fans are complaining because Austin Riley is Kobe. All right, first pepper point. We still like to highlight the ladies, and this has been quite the treat coming across my news feed and everything. The name Nelly Korda. Either one of y'all familiar with that name, Nelly Korda?
No idea.
You're saying come ride with me, wasn't it, Nelly?
No, not that.
See, like this, bird. Oh, my bad. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is one of those sports that just sort of gets lost in the limelight, just because the men's side of things is just that much bigger, that much more marketable. But I want to shine a light on Nelly Korda, the world's best female golfer.
I heard of her.
Coming through with her fifth straight tournament victory, and which was the Chevron Championship, which is a LPGA major. And so she hauls in her second major, and this is her fifth straight tournament championship. And so she's been burning it down. Six has never happened. So Nelly Korda, I'm gonna keep my eyes on her to see if she can win six in a row and break the all-time LPGA record. Eddie Cool for the ball.
All right, yeah, just because I got a big forehead don't mean you hit it. All right, with that being said, we had another passing in the sports world this week. You guys remember the show Stump the Schwab that was on the Four Letter Network, ESPN?
I do.
Yep. Fun show, great show. Howie Schwab unfortunately passed away at the age of 63. He was a longtime ESPN producer who worked with the company from 1987 to 2013, and he's most commonly known as the final boss on the Stump the Schwab game show. Dick Vitale has some real nice things to say about him. Howie played a vital role in my career. His incredible research was so valuable for decades. Howie's loyalty and dedication was so special. His passion and love for sports was off the charts. Most recently, he was ecstatic with the UConn Huskies going back-to-back and was thrilled to see Rick Pitino bring back St. John's to prominence, which was the Schwab's alma mater. Schwab, thank you very much. Your work is done. Rest in peace. Over to you, Scotty D.
Well, I'm not going to lighten it up any because I want to also acknowledge the recent passing of former NFL quarterback Roman Gabriel. Roman Gabriel died over the weekend at age 83. He was a Carolina guy through and through. He was the first quarterback of Filipino American descent, and he was from Wilmington. He played his college football at NC State. He was the first to have his number retired by them. In 1969, he was the NFL's MVP from the playing with the Rams, and then he would come full circle with the comeback player of the year in 1973 after being traded to the Eagles. Roman Gabriel died in Little River, South Carolina, which is where I have my home. And I can remember meeting him when I was with back in the early days of Overtime. I'm going to say this is about 2003, and I was planning a golf tournament, and someone was trying to help me get it off the ground. And I met with him at Overtime, and he wanted to kind of partner up and do a athlete's golf tournament, like bring in some former players. And at the time, it didn't work for me because I was trying to get things built with Overtime, and the price that he was going to charge was going to be significantly more than what I was seeking to do with my golf tournament. So we'd end up not connecting, but Roman Gabriel being a guy who spent a lot of time in Myrtle Beach over the last several years, I just want to acknowledge him and wish the best to his family. Roman Gabriel, former MVP, dies at 83. Be Live, over to you.
Little River, South Carolina.
Yes.
Old stomping grounds for real. Man. All right. Rest in peace. Absolutely. My second pepper point, Jim Harbaugh makes the news once again, where he makes a trip back to Michigan for the Michigan spring game. And he said, you know what? I made a promise to my players if we would win this and et cetera, that I'm going to get a little ink. I'm going to get a little tattoo. And so he got a new tattoo with the Michigan M and under saying 15-0. So he's got a little ink for him. And that is much appreciated, as opposed to Florida State getting rings made, that they rings made saying that they're ACC champions, and they were 13-0 when everybody knows they were 13-1. Florida State, do better. Come on, bro. You lost. You can't just erase history by saying, oh, no, we were 13-0 that year, and we won the ACC championship. It was a whole nother game after that. Do better. Eddie Cool, the ball.
Third and final pepper point. Let's talk about Boris Becker real quick. He says, I miss Wimbledon, and I'll be back in 2025 if the home office lets me. Now, Boris Becker is currently serving a 2.5-year jail stint for flouting the terms of his bankruptcy in 2017 per ESPN and the UK's Insolvency Service. He has been absent from the past two Wimbledon championships in 2022. He was midway through serving a 231 days, 2.5-year prison sentence in the UK. Then last year, his conditions upon release, you can't come back to the UK. Now this next year will mark his, I think it's the 40th anniversary, if I'm not mistaken, because the superstardom began there in 1985, where he won the Masters, not the Masters, but where he won the Wimbledon at age 17. And at that point in time, he was the youngest ever to win it. UK, let the man back in. Boris Becker, let him have his moment. Let him celebrate. Scotty D, over to you.
You guys may have touched on this last week, but I wasn't here. So I just wanted to give a shout out once again for another passing, and that is of former Heisman Trophy winner and murderer O.J. Simpson, whose white Bronco chase signified the biggest fall from grace in sports I've ever seen. Be live, take us home.
Oh yeah. We sort of opined on that. Yes, we did, Sky D. We missed you last week. We missed you. Third and final pepper point. Oh, Lord Jesus. Carolina Hurricanes, New York Islanders, playoff hockey. Hurricanes won, I believe it was 3-1, but that's not the story, because the Islanders and their fans are complaining because the Hurricanes didn't give a chair for the backup goalie to sit in during the game.
Shame on them.
That's the reason why the Islanders lost, because the backup goalie didn't have a chair. Come on now. I know if anybody would have just stopped and be like, yo, my man needs a chair, they'd have provided him with a chair. But now this is a breaking story that, oh, the Hurricanes didn't provide a chair for the backup goalie for the Islanders. Cut it out. Do better. I ain't got time for this. Hey, Hurricanes, let's go ahead and sweep these dudes so I ain't got to hear no mess. This a stir on the social media networks. I got
yes, sir.
Exactly, Eddie Cool. That face right there says it all. You know what to do.
A chair. Man, look, I'm about to start cussing on play. And in closing, do something nice for yourself. And if you can, do something nice for someone else. They'll greatly appreciate it now more than ever. Hey, if you need a chair, ask. They'll help you, all right? Be a blessing, not a burden. It's been another episode of the Sports Bros Podcast. Be live, take us to the hoo.
Yes, sir.
We lost the game because we didn't have a chair for our goalie. Hell, slide your ass on that bench, man. You're back up for a reason. See you next week, right here on the Sports Bros Podcast. We love you and thank you. Mwah, 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 mwah. Goodbye.
Hey. It's Eddie Cool here from the Sports Bros Podcast. Thank you for listening, and as always, continue to follow us on all of our social media platforms. Just click the link in the description box and keep up with the Sports Bros Podcast. And once again, thanks for listening.